You hear that Summerall touchdown? Greg got it in there. Thank you, Greg. All right, Friday night, we have a Big Ten matchup between two ranked teams. 24th ranked Illinois travels to Lincoln to take on Dylan Raiola and 22nd ranked Nebraska. Is the winner of this game a sleeper candidate to make the college football playoff?
A sleeper, yes. Likely no, because
that's what a sleeper is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. If Nebraska wins, they play at Ohio State and at USC. Those are tough games because they're on the road. They're in their venues. And how will the Illinois win age? I'm not sure that's a resume builder. If you lose your two biggest games, we had, you know, talked about this with some of our local teams earlier. And if Illinois wins, all right, you could say, I think just on terms of brand, that the Nebraska win, that'll give you a little juice. They also play at Penn State, at Oregon, but they're home against Michigan. If they win this one and beat Michigan in Champaign, I think you're looking at two notable wins for Illinois, even if they were to lose on the road to Penn State and Oregon. I think it bodes better for Illinois than it does Nebraska.
I think there's a case for Nebraska because I think they're the team more likely to get to 10 wins. I think you'd need 10 to be on the bubble, or what do we say, the fringe.
Right. Yeah.
Veteran defense, high upside quarterback, Matt Rhule year two, look it up. Always a big leap for his teams. Yeah, I think they could be a sleeper team. They avoid Oregon. They avoid Penn State. It sets up for them to get to 10 wins. That puts them on the fringe.
So I saw this game on the schedule. I'm like, does this game really matter? And I think it is Nebraska, although I like your argument, and that's why I thought it was a fair question.
Sure.
But Nebraska, what you said about Rhule, and if they can get that USC game, we don't know how good USC still is.
Right.
And they've got the player with Raiola, which would kind of be a little bit RG3-ish.
Yeah, could they get just some juice
when Rhule had him in Baylor? So that'd be wild. 11-1 Nebraska. Think about that. All right, 12th-ranked Utah travels to Stillwater to face 14th-ranked Oklahoma State. Is the winner of this game a virtual lock for the college football playoff?
No. They're a virtual lock to make the conference title game, but you got to win the conference title game to guarantee your spot in the playoff.
I thought you wanted two Big 12 teams automatically.
I do. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
I think it makes them a virtual lock because who else in that conference is going to step up? Okay, I know Kansas State. Yeah, they're undefeated, but I don't. And they're ranked 13. That'll be a big time opponent. I think especially if it's Utah. I think they run through this, and if they lose in the Big 12 championship game and there's a rematch, that's one loss.
Yeah,
and if Costa's on the committee, I mean, that's a gold star.
Right.
Like, you get a gold star.
I think early on, at least, we're going to see just one ACC team but two Big 12 teams, and that's why I think the winner of this game is a virtual lock. All right, every week seems to be drama with Shadur, like Matt LaFleur, and Deion Sanders. The latest was Shadur the other night when he didn't shake hands with the Colorado State quarterback after the game. If you were an NFL GM, would you shy away from drafting Shadur Sanders?
It all depends on how good they think he is. If he is near the can't miss and is going to, you know, redefine our franchise, then no, it doesn't make you shine away. Everything is a ratio in the NFL. If you're really, really good, they'll put up with a lot of drama and all of the off-field, all of the, you know, antics that come with it. If you're just, you might be all right. They're not going to put up with any of it. And I don't necessarily think it's the handshake issue. I think it's the family that comes with them.
I don't think he's can't miss. So all this stuff does matter. Throwing your O-line under the bus.
Yeah. That's bigger to me than the handshake, because it's not just because I was an old lineman.
Not shaking hands with an opponent does get thrown in there. But you're right, John. It's also the gaslighting helicopter father, too. Sorry, if you're not can't miss, all this stuff matters.
Yeah, he just seems to be a headache right now. And I just, can you imagine like him being a Lion and with him and Deion comes along, too, and they're doing all these commercials in town, the reaction we get? I mean, people are already fed up with Campbell and the Applebee's ads.
Well, yeah, I mean, and Deion brought his luggage with him. How much of that baggage is NFL teams willing to put up with Shadur?
Shadir. You like that, don't you?
Yeah.
Most Lions fans realize the offense is not clicking right now. What is your number one reason why the Lions offense is out of sync?
So I think John might say Laporta. I'll save that for him. To me, it's play action passing. They need to get back to that. They ran it the second most last year and for the most yards. Put the defense in conflict in an area where space is a premium. Play action pass. Please, please, more of that.
Well, I don't like it that you're trying to put words in my mouth and you think you know exactly what I'm going to say because you're wrong. All right. It is inconsistent offensive line play. The three interior guys have not been good enough in pass protection. They haven't given Jared Goff enough comfort in the pocket. And they haven't, even though there's been one really good drive in overtime against the Rams where they absolutely dominated, that is what we expect. That's not what we've gotten through two games. They've been inconsistent. And when that happens, the play action pass isn't as good. You don't hit your tight end. You're not successful in the red zone. So the offensive line, step up.
I thought you were going to blame the Tigers because they're being a distraction to the Lions right now.
No. They asked Jared Goff that question yesterday. He goes, yeah, I know they're in the playoff race, but I don't really know what's going on.
Sure, Jared. All right, the Vikings are 2-0, but nobody seems to take them serious right now. Even John didn't have them in the top six in this week's power surge. What do the Vikings have to do for you to see that they're a threat in the NFC North?
Sam Darnold has to be consistent. He is a quarterback that in college and through early opportunities in the NFL has been a turnover machine. Now, through two games, he has not been that. And he's got, I think, the best receiver in Justin Jefferson. I think Jordan Addison is a nice complement to him. He's got a lot of weapons, and the running game has been good. And the defense, we know under Flores, is going to be really good. They're going to be solid, even though minus Danielle Hunter. But I think it's just a matter of I don't trust Sam Darnold because of what we've seen up until this point. Now, if he is consistent, yeah, I mean, they could be a factor.
Coaching matters. We've seen it with Campbell here in Detroit. They've got good coaches, offense and defense. The next four games will be very telling. Houston, at Green Bay, the Jets, and the Lions. I will take the Vikings seriously if they go 2-2 or better and beat the Lions. Until then, it's still the Lions division.
All right, the Bengals and Ravens are both 0-2 and both have had bad home losses on their record. Who is more likely to recover and save their season?
So you can't go 0-3. The Ravens have a toss-up on the road in Dallas. The Bengals have a more winnable game against the Commanders. The Bengals have guys who've beaten Mahomes in the playoffs. I think they're the team more likely to rally between the two.
I think it's the Ravens, less drama. I don't know what's going on with Ja'Marr Chase. We already know T. Higgins, there's been drama there. And the offensive line, I just don't trust them to protect Joe Burrow. I don't trust Joe Burrow to stay healthy.
All right, we're not going for two this week. The Lions face Kyler Murray and the Cardinals this Sunday. Murray is second in QBR and fourth in QB rating, and he has zero interceptions so far. Did we write off Kyler Murray too soon in terms of just being a good starting quarterback in the league?
No, I don't think so. Because he is, I think he's the definition of a front runner. When things are going great, I'm playing great. My teammates are awesome. I love my coaches. And then it's because we saw this 2 years ago. They started off the season with the best record in the NFL through like 10, 12 weeks. And then all of a sudden we saw at Ford Field when they played the Lions, you know, the body language. When things go bad, he's going to throw everyone else under the bus and not take any responsibility for himself.
October 25th. So when the new Call of Duty comes out. You got another month of Kyler before things go off the rails.
I think we missed an opportunity as Detroit media. I think yesterday was when they do conference calls with the other opposing players, and I'm sure he was probably on it. Somebody should have asked him from Detroit media, do you play college football 25? And just create a story?
Yeah.
Because his answer would be, oh, yeah, I love it, man.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Distracted.
That's how I get my practice reps in.
And that is terrifying. And the Thursday touchdown, it's 97-1.